Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
Tape number 183. Christ, yes. The Church, no. Winston Churchill once described Russia as a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. Our current religious scene is no less puzzling. Christianity is far from a dead issue on college campuses. We've witnessed a revival of interest in the formal study of theology. Each semester, students by the hundreds enroll in courses about Jesus, his life, and teaching, and no end is in immediate view. Paradoxically, at the same time, there has been a pronounced rejection of the church in terms of organized religion. The mood and temper of many young collegians, and their feeling is not wholly foreign to the more mature either, is summed up in these comments: I admire Christ, but I have no use for the church. Christianity is great, but the church is a racket. I don't think you can organize the spiritual. What we have on our hands, then, are sincere expressions of religious faith coupled with a vigorous dislike for structured institutions. Is such a position valid? Can the Jesus, yes, church, no, syndrome be justified? To be sure, all sorts of things may be wrong with religious institutions. On occasion, churches have been smug, complacent, self-righteous, impersonal, unfeeling, dated, and stuffy. More than once, God's people, with God's message, have forgotten God's purpose for them in the world. Such confession is good for the corporate soul. Still, after we have rehearsed the sometimes failings of today's church, a strong case can be made for the defense. More to the point, anyone who takes Christ seriously will take the church seriously. Why? For at least three reasons. First, the church fulfills a functional requirement. It supplies organization, and this is crucial for any enterprise, the religious as well as the economical, educational, or political. While organization involves potential dangers, no movement can hope to survive without it. Structure provides clout for the idea whose time has come. Christians are generally agreed that the heart of the gospel, Jesus is Lord, is a central truth which begs for proclamation, far and near, in word and deed. And this can never be effectively accomplished without structure. Freelance, unorganized disciples are no match for highly organized and deeply entrenched evil. Second, a rich spiritual bond unites Christ and his followers. The New Testament is filled with illuminating suggestions. For example, the Lord purchased the church with his blood, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Again, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Whatever else one wishes to make of these words, the relationship between Jesus and his church, his people, is intimate, loving, sacrificial. That which was so important to him cannot be meaningless to me. Third, religion is communal as well as personal. Remember, according to Paul, Jews and Gentiles alike are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise, Ephesians 3 and verse 6. The church, and I'm thinking now of the local church, is where we learn together and grow together and work together, worship together, sorrow together. To the question, the church, who needs it, comes the answer, we all do. Jesus or the church. To this, add a third alternative, Jesus and the church. To God be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians 3, verse 21.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.